Jovo, I'm wondering, when was the last time you had a 6 hour round, or have you ever had a 6 hour round for that matter?
6 hours, I'm not playing. We average about 3 hours, 3 hour round.
Is really? That with carts? 3 hours, how do you get around your course?
3 hours. We usually play on the weekends. We play at at 8. I'm inside my house by 11:15.
Wow.
Wow. See, I would enjoy the game a lot more if that was the case.
Yes.
Yeah, but lately I've been enjoying like 12 holes. It's
yes.
just so hot, you know, that it's just like 12 holes and I lose interest. So kind of waiting for the weather to turn here a little bit to actually enjoy the outdoors.
It's just too hot. Yeah, I hear you.
Too hot.
Hey, today's the first day. There's no NBA. There's no NHL since late July. We kind of, you know, baseball is your fix. You can watch the Jays around. Are you surprised we're not getting set for game one of the Stanley Cup final tomorrow?
Yeah. Listen, I think you, you look at that game, you know, yesterday was, you know, right before the game with the announcement of Point not playing, and you just think that the Islanders just to kind of do enough, kind of hang around and find a way to get it done. But what I saw in that game yesterday was more so Tampa not trying to lose and Islanders kind of staying their plan. You know, Tampa is so effective when they're high octane, they're going for it. And I think when they play a different way, you know, it doesn't work for them. So, hey, listen, we got another game. I still like Tampa in this series, obviously, but you never know. You never know these playoffs, how things are going to unfold. You look at the NBA yesterday with Denver. You know, no one saw that coming. You know, facing, I think it was six elimination games in the playoffs. Six?
6-0. Mm-hmm. 6-0.
Right. It's crazy.
It is.
But yeah, it'll be a lonely. It'll be a lonely night tonight. There'll be something on.
you'll find something.
Eddie watching netball from Belarus tonight.
Hey man, we talked about Korean baseball earlier this year, so why not? Anything's possible at this point. The Dallas Stars are off to the Stanley Cup final. I'll tell you what, and we talked about this yesterday, Perry and I. But Eddie, I'll tell you. I mean, if Anton Khudobin continues to play the way he's playing, I think Dallas is winning the Stanley Cup. And say what you want about the Lightning being built for this, and they're a good team, but if they're running out of bodies here, like, the Stars are getting better and better, and now they've got, you know, we haven't seen the best version of him, but their captain's playing well now. They've got an active blue line. Everybody's kind of meeting each other halfway, and the vets that we all thought were washed up, like Pavelski and Perry, they've been full value too as of late.
Yeah, and Jamie Benn's got those look in his eyes, right? That he's on a mission, and you're right. I mean, the goaltender's been great, and the great part of that is you hear what such a nice guy he is and great teammate. You know, even in that backup role, all very supportive guy. So you love these stories where you get an opportunity and you come in and you play lights out and you give your team a chance to, you know, to win the Stanley Cup. But you're right. They're a deep team. You know, up the middle, they're strong. You said they added, you know, that veteran presence in Pavelski, who is, you know, elite player. Perry, who's sandpaper, who's not afraid to go to those dirty areas. You look at the back end with Heiskanen and Klingberg, guys that can move the puck, and then you got SNL, who's playing, you know, out of his mind, blocking everything. Sakara, these guys that are, you know, veteran guys, and kind of put it all together, and what you have is a team playing well and getting better as the playoffs goes along, and sure enough, you find ways to win, and you know, they just kind of threw around Vegas. And I don't know what Vegas deal was. But, you know, I actually said it to a friend of mine. I think there were just the Demko factor, which I heard the following day, you know, all over. I think Pete DeBoer actually said it.
Yep.
You know, maybe they just couldn't score. I mean, yeah, they were generating, but, you know, Riley Smith was invisible. Marchessault was invisible. I mean, these guys, you got to have your top guys, you know, performing, and it doesn't help, I think, when an agent comes out and throws out something. I think that had to do something with, you know, the fallout of everything. Because you got to think, at some point, does Pete DeBoer say, listen, I want to put in Fleury, but I really can't go there? You know, so I don't know.
So, Eddie, although they addressed the Fleury when it started, and Fleury kind of addressed it on his own, if memory serves, after Alan Walsh put that, you know, knife in the back caricature out. As much as they said it didn't bother him, you think those were seeds that kind of were noticeable in a room? Or maybe players were going, okay, like, we've lost some games. When is the Flower going to get another chance?
Right, and I said it while we were doing the series. I think the players can oversee a lot of things. I don't think they look at, you know, the Flower as being that type of guy, you know, to disrupt things. But I think there was a little bit of damage done there, you know, because I think everybody's kind of pulling the same way and you want to achieve the same goal. And I think at these times, you got to be a team guy. You know, and someone associated with your top goaltender wasn't a team guy that just thought it would be cool to throw this out, and it wasn't. You know, I think everybody, whether it's your family member or you're not happy with the situation you're in, you know, you got to be team players at this time because you never know when your opportunity is going to come.
And Joe Vanoski here on Sportsnet 650. So you would probably have a rethink on committing any long-term dollars in Vegas to Robin Leonard now.
What was that story, James?
You'd have a hard time committing all those dollars to Robin Leonard now after that.
Well, I don't know. And in that whole scenario with the handshake deal, you know, coming out. Yeah, listen, I think there were saves there that needed to be made.
Yeah.
And whether it's a handshake deal and the deal is done already, I mean, that's something that these guys got to figure out. But, yeah, I mean, you're committed to a goaltender, I think two or three more years, a top goaltender. You know, you played him to be the difference, and he was outplayed by Khudobin.
Eddie, a lot of people felt that Vegas team was cocky, more so than confident. Is there a difference from your view?
No, and you know, Vegas had that, you know, going into the playoffs. I mean, they were the favorite. They were, you know, team that was looked upon to compete for the Stanley Cup. And yeah, they're a cocky group. And did it catch up to them? I don't know. I think, you know, a lot of teams have that swagger, but you can do that. You can have that swagger, you know, quietly. And, you know, you look at their, you know, the chirping on the ice to guys and so on and so forth. But I think when you look at Vegas, I can say they were, you know, they're a cocky group that maybe caught up to them.
Karma. That's what Eddie's talking about.
I don't know. I mean, do you guys see it differently? I just feel that.
No,
had that,
I think Jamie. You know, cocky, I think Jamie cocky. Ben's really confident, but or you could say cocky. But you know what? I love the fact that if Jamie Benn is pushing you after the whistle, doesn't even look at you, like, you know what? I'm better than you. I don't like the bok bok chicken that Ryan Reeves was doing. Right? That's to me confidence.
Right.
And cocky.
But you love that if he's on your team. Like,
I don't know if it comes
on.
Back. I bet you there's some guys on the team that don't care for that.
I always love when top guys. And listen, when I scored a goal, because I didn't score many, you know, I was pumped. But when you see guys that are in that position, like a Jamie Benn, you just got that little subtle little pump. He's not like, you know, going crazy when he scores. He's just that ultimate leader. And I think everybody in Dallas, you know, from their coach, a great story. The guy's been in the league 40 years. You know, he's got these guys kind of tugging the same way. And we talk about buy-in so many times that you got to have that buy-in. And I think that's what Dallas has, you know, from top to bottom. You know, they're not disjointed. You know, they're playing that game, whether they're up or they're down, they're kind of, you know, hanging on, playing the same way. And they're a frustrating team to play against. I mean, Esa Lindell reminds me of, in my day, Ludwig.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this guy, like, he plays like him, too.
Shot block.
You know, he's nothing flashy. He's got that little stick. You know, he's got his, you know, he takes probably more pride in blocking shots, because nowadays you do that well, you make $5 million.
Giant knee pads, right, Eddie?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, with the flared shin pads.
But, catalogs.
You know, kudos to them. They deserve it. They worked hard. They're, you know, you can see, you know, how excited they are, and they're on a mission.
I would, you know, I feel like maybe burying the lead a little bit here on this conversation based on the market that we're in here at Vancouver. But I got to ask you this, you know, the situation with Jacob Markstrom, Thatcher Demko, the Canucks are going to have to make a decision from a goaltending standpoint. You know, you had Pat Morris as an agent who's also kind of looking after and navigating Markstrom's future here. You know, I think the sense is, and Elliot Friedman was reporting, the Canucks would love to try to push this decision to a year from now when they get to the expansion draft with Seattle and then have to decide, you know, whether they're going to go with Markstrom or Demko. You know, if you're in Markstrom's position, you know, not wanting to, you know, you probably want a little bit of stability, you know, a no movement clause. I don't think the Canucks probably want to give one before you know, the expansion draft is held, because they want to maintain control of that decision. If that's what the Canucks are kind of offering, what would be your sweetener? Like, what are you looking for on the other side? Say, okay, well, if you want me to bend on that as a player, what are you going to do for me? Like, what would you be looking for from as an athlete?
Well, Liz, I think the position that Marky is in, you know, I think of everything that you've done for the franchise and on your progression to be in that upper echelon goaltender. If the decision is, you know, to stay there, then as a player, you get a little pissed off when the team doesn't kind of act quickly and you're kind of getting, you know, this deal done. And I think that's where frustration on my part came in. When I was with Vancouver, is listen, my goal was to stay there. Don't let me get to free agency. Let's get something done that's fair. And I think the longer this goes on, I think as the player gets frustrated. And I know the player is in a good position, you know, to see what's out there and in his position, kind of cash in to see where it is. But I think you just want that loyalty, that commitment, you know, from the organization to, you know, a deal that's fair.
So October 9th is free agent day. Eddie, are you saying right now Markstrom says, hey, I want to be here. The Canucks say they want to have him be their guy.
If he gets
to October 9th, he goes, okay, maybe I'm going to view this differently because you've had 2 weeks to try to get it
done. Because you look at teams, you start to wonder how teams are going to approach, you know, the goaltender situation with all the, you know, the talk about, listen, you know, don't, you know, pay a goaltender an exorbitant amount of money. Let's go on that two-goalie system, and let's try to work it out that way. So I think for the player, I think if he shows the commitment, say, listen, you know, Jim, we want to be here, and Pat saying to them, listen, the guy wants to be here, just work at it to make your star goaltender, that who's carried you along the way, make him happy, and a deal that's fair for both sides. I mean, yeah, term. Everyone wants term. I mean, I'm no different. I mean, it's, you know, you want those term deals and you want that security, and it's the way it is. But, you know, with the economics the way they are now, I think teams, obviously you got to look at what, you know, is the best interest of the team as well, where you're not, you know, flooding that area, and you want to build your team to win. So
thanks for dropping by, man. Lots to chew on there. And, we have learned that 3-hour rounds are much better than a 6-hour round. So,
and Eddie, I think England's playing Australian international cricket today. If you need to put some units on something.
Hey, listen, the men are playing in Rome. We got tennis on, and we got the French Open around the corner.
Jays and Yankees, buddy. Jays and Yankees too.
You got Wingfoot tomorrow.
Final,
at the US,
right? Open. The US Open final.
Yeah, 5 sets.
Yeah,
I just wonder. Would you ever wear a pair of fuchsia shorts like Dominic Thiem?
I don't know. Maybe 20 years ago I could have pulled it off. Now mid 40s, not so much.
See, Eddie.
Hey, happy colors, man.
Yeah, happy colors.
You
know,
especially
go,
in this time. Yeah. You gotta wear something, brighten you up your day.
There you go. Always look on the bright side of life. Take care,
right.
man.